Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Evan Dial. What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick and Corey. Thanks a lot for having me. Pumped to talk some free agency.
We're going to make every single prediction correct. Don't look at any other news outlet. We already have you covered. This is 100% all facts.
Yeah, we'll be talking free agents today. We're going to touch on the top 25 guys, some other guys as well. You know, always check out otgbasketball.com. A ton of off-season contents from podcasts to articles to predictions. And for the podcast, you can check us out on Blog Talk, iTunes, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But guys, we're going to kind of go through each one. And based off of the rankings on hoopsites.com, number one is Kevin Durant. And I don't think there's much question about if he's going to leave Golden State because he's already came out and said he wants to stay there. But how much money do you think he's going to sign for and how long?
Well, their GM, Bob Myers, just said his contract may reset the entire market. So he has a player option and he's in for a huge payday. I agree that he's very unlikely to leave Golden State. So, I mean, he could be looking at the Supermax. Last year he earned $25 million a year and this year it could be up to 30. I think what's interesting is how many years he's going to get. There was, you know, because Durant said he may retire, but as early as 35, and he's 29 right now. And maybe he wants to be a little flexible later in his career. So I'm guessing it's the maybe 3 or 4 years range.
I don't think he's going anywhere. So I think it'd be the biggest storyline if Kevin Durant randomly decided to leave the back-to-back champions.
It'd be chaos.
Yeah, right? Especially if he left like some other powerhouse like the Celtics. Like, he thinks I can win more rings with this team.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, but I think, you know, obviously the money aspect. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Durant follows kind of in the shoes of LeBron James and maybe we see him just take a bigger one-year deal because we do know that, you know, Klay Thompson's going to have to get paid. Draymond Green's going to have to get paid. And Kevin Durant has, I believe, mentioned that he'll think about taking a pay cut possibly if it helps remain the core. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did like a 1 year, $30 million deal and then, you know, has the ability next year to take less money just so they can re-sign the other guys.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. The 1+1 deal, kind of like LeBron, you know, have this year guaranteed, obviously, and then a player option for next year if he wants to stay, you know, help them with the contract situation. But on the Kevin Durant front, I think we all know he's going to be back in Golden State. Now, talking LeBron James, this is going to be the headline. This is going to put us, you know, a stop on free agency for a couple of days until he makes his decision. But really, is LeBron going to leave Cleveland or is he going to stay?
It's about 50-50, but I think his recent comments of him saying he doesn't want like elaborate free agent pitches means I think he's narrowed his list to probably either staying the Lakers and Philly is a dark horse. I think he's removed some teams from his list. The interesting thing with him is just if he's going to sign in to his deal and make sign in trades possible for Cleveland. And he should have his decision soon, whether he opts in or opts out, but he's probably first going to let other dominoes fall. And my guess is Paul George, like, for example, if George goes to the Lakers, he may go there, but if he doesn't, he's not going to go by himself. So as usual, LeBron, it's all going to be very calculated and kind of see how the rest, you know, folds out before he makes his decision.
Yeah. The LeBron James sweepstakes is going to be to a short list of teams, without question. The no need for elaborate pitches has proven that he knows the couple places he has interest in going, and now it's just literally tell me can we win titles, basically, or tell me what you can give me at this stage of my career. I think it is also between L.A. and Cleveland. It's just the fact that there's not a lot of destinations for him to go to where it's like a for sure path to winning a title. I do think Philly's a dark horse, but like I've said before, I don't think Philly's a great fit for LeBron. Next to Ben Simmons. But I think the Lakers, for sure, you know, if they get Paul George, then I think LeBron James comes. I think those two guys obviously are talking. I'm sure when we see this ESPN documentary or whatever that's following Paul George this offseason, we'll probably see some sort of interaction with LeBron James, I'm sure. I know Wade's expected to be on it too. But I think LeBron's – it's probably going to end up going to stay in Cleveland. I think at the end of the day, I just don't see him truly leaving. So I don't know if there's anywhere he can actually go to win a ring that makes sense. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did another one-on-one deal to stay in Cleveland one last year.
Yeah, and then it gives them leverage for next year where teams might have a little bit more financial flexibility and they can kind of make a move. What do you guys think? If he opts in, do you think he's more likely to stay, or do you think that means he's more likely to leave and get with a trade?
Ooh, I mean, I think for him to stay, it wouldn't be less for an opt-in, and it's just them be able to at least add one other star player, either that's a trade for like Kemba Walker or somebody like that. But opt-in, opt-out, it's hard to say what is that more likely that means he stays or not. So I don't know. I think it's sad Lakers, and as Corey said, Philly's a dark horse whether he opts in or not.
And I think something to keep in mind, too, is like it's been already said that LeBron James has not stopped trying to recruit people to Cleveland. And I think that's a big telling sign that he doesn't really want to leave this team. It's just a team that's completely flawed and has a ton of issues, but he doesn't want to leave. And I think if he does accept a player option, I don't think it opens up a trade personally. I think it just means he's going to stay. And I think if Cleveland can get Kemba Walker, that's going to be, you know, a huge thing to decide if LeBron stays or not.
So final guess for LeBron.
He'll stay. I'll go with it.
Yeah, I'm going to say he stays. Unless the dominoes fall for LA, but LA to me is hard because Paul George, again, you know, we're about to talk about him. He's got an interesting offseason too coming up.
Yeah, for me, I think if Kawhi is traded to L.A., LeBron will leave. But if Kawhi isn't traded, I think he stays in Cleveland as well. The opportunities really aren't there, and next year he can become a free agent, and there will be more options on the table. I mean, like you guys have mentioned, Philadelphia is a possibility, but it doesn't seem as likely. Same thing with Houston. But talking Paul George, who we already mentioned, is Paul George L.A. bound?
I think so. There are some rumors that he may want to stay in OKC, but I find that hard to believe with how, you know, things didn't go well last year, and Melo's coming back, so that sucks. And he's from LA, so I think it's pretty likely that he's going to be a Laker for sure.
I think Paul George is such an interesting free agent this year for an assortment of reasons. Because of the friendship with Russell Westbrook, I read something yesterday from, I think, My Real GM, and they were saying how Paul George has been like the first teammate Westbrook's ever had that he's like truly made a bond with, not just on the floor, but off the floor. And like they hang out a lot, and Westbrook's actually like come out of his shell for the first time in his career. And that's, you know, that's huge to hear. So we know Westbrook isn't a guy who normally, you know, hangs out with the team and does stuff, but Paul George is somebody they've become close. They've hung out already this offseason. So it makes you think, you know, if you're going to be hanging out with this guy all the time, maybe you don't want to leave OKC. And then, of course, that report comes out that he's got the three-part documentary series following his off-season decision. And then I think you don't normally have an off-season type of show following your path and journey if you're not going to leave and have some kind of big, you know, thing at the end of this series, which makes me think L.A. is the destination. It is home to him. We've already seen the billboards. The rumors of him to L.A. have been here since the season. You know, not dating back to not even last season, the season before when he was still with the Indiana Pacers. So I think for Paul George, it's about, you know, does he want to play with a friend now, or does he think L.A. and playing for home is better for him? And I think a dark horse would be if Philly, you know, I think Philly should turn their attention away from LeBron and go after Paul George. I think Paul George would be so much better in Philly alongside Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Well, you mentioned Philly. What would be some other options for Paul George? Let's say he doesn't go to L.A. or he doesn't stay in OKC. You know, Philly, where else?
Houston can try to open up some cap room and go and sign him. If they fail LeBron, you know, they could let guys like Ariza go, maybe trade Eric Gordon, get some cap space. I mean, that's a contender that he can fit in seamlessly with Philly. I think it would have to be – if it's not the Lakers, I feel like it would have to be a contender. And then – another dark horse is a return to Indiana, who will have a ton of cap room, especially if they decline Thaddeus Young's option. So I would say that's unlikely, but I wouldn't completely rule it out.
You're bringing up the Pacers rumor, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think the Pacers could offer him a deal. I don't think they're going to. I think they're looking to people outside of Paul George after the way that relationship ended. I do think the Rockets do have a slight chance, but again, they have to move some contracts in order to even get Paul George. I think I know Donovan Mitchell said he was going to pitch to Paul George to try and bring him to Utah. I actually love the idea of Paul George in Utah. You know, he obviously is a really good wing defender. They play a ton of defense there, and you know, he would have someone to take the scoring load off his shoulders playing alongside of Donovan Mitchell. So I don't hate the thought of him in Utah, but I think it's limited between the Thunder, Lakers, and you know, maybe a dark horse between the Rockets and Philly.
Yeah, Utah would really be an interesting fit, but he seems big market bound. You know, regardless where he goes, it's going to be a big time city.
He's had his fun in small markets.
Exactly. And you guys mentioned the Pacers. I think he posted an Instagram post yesterday, you know, kind of complaining about Lance's option getting declined. So I think there might be some bad blood there.
Basically call the franchise unloyal.
Yeah, which is interesting because he didn't obviously read the article, because I believe it said they're still interested in possibly re-signing Lance at a different contract. But whatever, that's for another day. But final guess on Paul George, what happens with him? Is he staying in OKC, going to LA, or going one of these dark horses?
Lakers.
I actually, even though I know I've said the documentary shows LA bound, I'm actually going to say he goes with the Thunder, because I think I don't know. I feel like he doesn't want to. I'm not saying he's going to sign a long-term big deal, but I think he could also sign a one-on-one deal to try OKC one more time.
Yeah, he definitely could. I think he has a player option, so technically he could opt in.
He could opt in.
Yeah, he could opt in if he wanted to. I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed on OKC because it relieves kind of the pressure. You know, if he goes to the Lakers, he goes to his hometown, there's a lot of pressure, especially if LeBron or Kawhi doesn't come. They expect him to be this hero. I don't know if you guys saw the Lakers pitch kind of got leaked a little bit, and it's kind of expecting big things from him. If he stays in OKC, he has a decent chance. Then next year, Melo's off the book. Off the books, they can add another player. I think he stays in OKC as well.
And then next season too, you know, Kawhi Leonard will also be a free agent. So maybe that's an easier transition for the Lakers to sign, you know, Kawhi next year along with Paul George if he decides not to this year.
Exactly. And yeah, like next year there's going to be a lot more options for different teams with the cap being, you know, a little bit different. Some of these big bad contracts being expired. Going on to another all-star player, and that's Chris Paul. You know, the feeling is, especially after last night, seeing that little video clip of him with Daryl Morey and Rockets ownership, he's probably going to stay. Do you guys think he's locked in to stay in Houston?
I think so. I think the tension got overblown, and obviously he was seen last night with Morey. And I know he's 33 and has injury issues and looking for the max, which is something Houston doesn't want to give him. But I'm confident they can find some middle ground. It was such a great fit in a season last year. Paul loved it there. He wants to be on a contender. I feel like they can compromise, and I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, I think he gets re-signed. You know, the rumors that the Lakers are trying to package are trying to sign him and LeBron is interesting, but I think Houston just looks like he's home there. You know, he's already hanging out. He was alongside James Harden all last night throughout the MVP process, and with all those teammates. I think like you said, Evan, the tension got a little bit overblown. I don't think he goes anywhere.
Yeah, and it would just make the most sense. It's hard to imagine going to another team and having a better chance at beating the Warriors. You know, the Rockets team was right there. If Chris Paul's not injured, we could be discussing a completely different offseason. So I think that's, for me, he's definitely a lock to stay in Houston. Moving on to maybe one of the most interesting free agents this offseason, that's DeMarcus Cousins. What do you guys think about DeMarcus Cousins? Is he going to come back and be able to be, you know, 80, 90% of the player he was, or that Achilles injury is really going to hurt him?
Well, he's the most interesting free agent this year for that reason. That's usually the toughest injury an athlete can get. It's a brutal recovery, and it takes a long time till you're back to yourself, especially for a guy as big as he is. So he's not going to get the value that he would have liked. So my guess is he's going to stay in New Orleans, and they're going to try, even though they don't have a lot of money, they can still sign him to a short-term deal, and maybe he uses that deal to, you know, regain his value, get healthy, put up numbers, and so he could get a bigger deal in 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, I think DeMarcus Cousins' time in New Orleans is over. I think he's going to be on the way out. I do think he can be 90% of the player he was. You know, modern science nowadays, or health science, is pretty good. And, you know, I have faith that he'll be at least 90% of who he was. You know, maybe he's not as explosive, but I still think he's a complete center for the most part, even when he gets a little bit lazy on defense. I'm expecting, obviously, the Mavericks have been tied to him. I think they're going to throw him a ton of money. I think the Lakers, if they strike out, will throw him a ton of money. I just think he's going to go after more so the money rather than stay in New Orleans.
Evan, what would be some teams you think that are a possibility of kind of prying him away from New Orleans and offering him that big contract that he can't turn down?
Dallas, for sure, as Corey said, they're definitely going after a big man. The Lakers, for sure, especially if they strike out. The Clippers could be interesting if they trade DeAndre Jordan. They'll have some cap space. They can go after him. Those are the three teams. There's been rumors the Wizards may want to try to get him, but that would be tough unless he's willing to take a discount to play with his buddy John Wall. But I think the Mavericks and the LA teams can definitely offer him the money that he's looking for.
Do you guys think Cousins is going to go for the money, or he's going to look for a shorter-term contract and kind of prove himself, or he's just going to take the guaranteed large sum because he's coming off a big injury?
I don't know.
I think he wants the large money personally. I think he just wants to be safe. I think he'd rather either play in Washington with John Wall or play somewhere for big money. I honestly feel that's where he's at. I think he would like to come to New Orleans, but I don't think it's one of his top three options right now, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation for New Orleans as well, because do they want to take the risk and offer him this big money and then say DeMarcus Cousins never gets back to that level and now you have Anthony Davis' contract running out in a few years? Is there a possibility it could kind of screw them if they have Cousins and he doesn't reach, you know, 80 or 70% of the player he was, and now they're not winning and they're just a fringe playoff team, and then, you know, maybe you lose AD because of it?
Absolutely, and that's why I think the Pelicans will be careful, and they're only going to offer him a short-term deal. He may look to try to get a longer one from them, but I doubt if New Orleans will give it to them. So if he does stay in New Orleans, he'll have to be comfortable in a short-term deal and bet on himself and getting healthy and going back to the player he was so he can earn more money down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially, too, with how the Pelicans finished the year. You know, I don't think in their eyes when you exceed expectations like that, you climb up those standings after losing a player like Cousins, you win a first-round series in sweeping fashion, and then you play a tough series against the Warriors. You know, I don't think necessarily they're going to meet Cousins' demands when they had so much success without him. You know, if they struggled without Cousins, I think they go full press on Cousins without a doubt, even if he does have the Achilles injury. But I think because they had the success, it makes Cousins slightly less valuable to the franchise.
Yeah, you could definitely see that. Final guess for Cousins, where does he land this summer?
I will say Dallas.
Washington Wizards in a sign and trade for Otto Porter Jr.
Wow.
Ooh, I like it.
Spicy. I think Dallas seems like a real possibility, but for some reason I feel like he's just going to end up in New Orleans. Like, I don't know of the teams. There's been a lot of talk about Dallas possibly going after other centers, and it might make more sense to go after somebody healthy. And then New Orleans and Anthony Davis might want to keep him, even though it might not be the right move. Talking another center, though, Clint Capella, restricted free agent, coming off a great season. I think he was second in most improved player voting last night. What do you think Houston's going to match regardless of the offer sheet he signs?
They definitely want to, but at first they're going to assess their option, whether they can get, as we talked about earlier, a small chance of LeBron James or Paul George. And if they can get a big fish like that, maybe they're willing to let Capella walk. But if they're just going to run the team back they last year, which is a really, really good team, I think they would definitely match any offer they get from either Dallas or Phoenix or teams who are going to give them an offer sheet.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the year he had, you have to match regardless. Yeah. No, because even if you lose Capella and get LeBron or Paul George, in my eyes, you don't win. I think Capella is a crucial part of why that team is so good. You need centers in this league. You know, I always think point guards and big men are still the two most important positions in the NBA. Of course, the wing position is growing, but I still think you need to have those to be successful. So I don't think the Rockets let Clint Capella go no matter what. I just think if they end up having to offer a big match or match a big offer sheet, I just think it becomes more and more likely they do everything they can to trade Ryan Anderson, which I think is going to be a, you know, their goal regardless.
Yeah, it's a tough goal too to achieve. But who are some teams that are going to throw those big offer sheets at Capella?
Well, as I mentioned, Dallas and Phoenix, mainly because they have room. I could – the Clippers, again, if they trade DeAndre Jordan, they could have some money. They can throw an offer sheet. But I don't think that the Rockets are actually kind of lucky because there's not a lot of teams that can. So it shouldn't be too competitive, and they should be able to match whoever does.
Yeah, I'm looking at Dallas. Dallas, and I think the Brooklyn Nets may be an interesting dark horse. I know Nick has mentioned them in the past about Capella.
No, I don't think they would go after Capella at all.
Oh, I thought you said that. Oh,
No, I think he has similar game to Jared Allen. I think center wise, the Nets are only looking back up.
Gotcha. Yeah, but aside from Dallas and a team that has money, I don't think there's a giant market for him, like you said, Evan.
Atlanta maybe would be an interesting choice. You know, you could throw some money because they have some cap space, getting a restricted free agent. I like the thought of the Clippers as a possibility. Would you guys think the Lakers would have, you know, if they strike out and they are looking for a big-time center, you think that'd be a possibility?
I would be surprised. I think he would – I mean, as good as he is, he's kind of long down their list of players they would go after. So I think a lot – they would have to strike out several times for that to be an option.
Yeah, I agree with Evan on that part, the Lakers.
Moving on to another center, DeAndre Jordan. There's been rumors that he may opt in and look for a trade, similar to like LeBron would if he was looking to be traded. So that's a possibility, or he could opt out. Who's some teams that would be interested in DeAndre?
Washington, for sure. If they can pull off a sign and trade somehow. They were interested at the deadline this year. Toronto, I think, could be a dark horse for him. He wants to go to Houston, but if they have Capella, who's like better than him. So I don't think that's happening. And then, of course, Dallas, which almost happened in the emoji battle a few years ago. But I think Dallas would definitely be interested in a sign and trade if he opts in.
Yeah, I think Dallas is going to have some interest. I think the Bucks still have some interest in DeAndre. As we saw, the Bucks were trying to trade apparently Eric Bledsoe and Dellavedova on draft night. So it just shows that they're willing to possibly move one of their key players in Bledsoe. I think the Lakers are an outside chance. I think the Rockets have to. Jordan has to want to come at a discount, and Clint Capella has to have a huge offer sheet for the Rockets to be going after DeAndre Jordan in my eyes. But I think Dallas, I like the thought of maybe Washington going after him if they can move, you know, Gortat or get some, or Mahimi, get one of those contracts off the books. But again, the DeAndre Jordan, I think he's going to, you know, I think he was leaning into accepting his player option, the last thing I read. So if I had to guess, I think he's going to stay with the Los Angeles Clippers for now.
But I think if he opts in, it actually could make it easier for him to be traded to a team like Washington, if you think about it, because obviously their cap is terrible. I believe they're hard capped. So even a sign and trade would be really difficult, where if they could pull off a trade for DeAndre, I think it'd be more likely if he opted in. So do you think DeAndre, though, needs an elite passer to be successful? Do you think he'd go to a situation where they don't have an elite passer and still be, you know, a good player?
Yeah, I think he could still be solid because he can run the floor, grab rebounds, block shots. But he's at his best with Chris Wall, and that's why I think Washington's such an intriguing fit with John Wall. So definitely a team with good pat makes him better, but still useful without one.
Yeah, I think defensively he can be good still without an elite passer, but I think you don't get nearly the offensive production and the easy oops without having a dynamic playmaker, you know, on that roster.
All right, final guess for DeAndre.
Oh, well, I already I'll go outside the box, and then he opts in and Washington somehow makes a deal for him.
Oh, man. I'm going to say he stays in LA and maybe gets traded at the deadline. I think he stays though for now.
Gotcha. Moving on to number Number 8, Aaron Gordon, forward, Orlando, restricted free agent, coming off a really big season. You know, he really impressed early on, and then he kind of calmed down. Do you think the Magic are going to match regardless on him because they've lost so many good young players in the past and they've gone to different locations and really looked amazing, like Oladipo and Tobias Harris?
I don't think they match regardless. For me, it's a if the price is right kind of deal. Because Gordon, he had his best year last year, but I'm not even sure the Magic are still 100% sold on him. So if some other team offers a ton of money, I could see him letting him walk. But ideally, they would like to keep him because obviously they're starved for talent.
Yeah, it's tough because them drafting Mo Bamba makes things a little bit more interesting. And obviously Jonathan Isaac is a guy they see going forward. I'm so 50-50 on this. I don't think Orlando wants to make the same mistake with Aaron Gordon as they did with Oladipo, Tobias Harris. But I feel like a part of them also doesn't want to give him that much money because of the fact that, you know, his ceiling and upside is still so questionable. You know, last season he came out of the gate, you know, hitting threes. I know he went 5 of 5 in one game. I think it was against the Nets, actually.
It was, actually.
You know, he wasn't, you know, he was just still so up and down to me. And obviously when you're playing on a team like the Orlando Magic, it's kind of tough to gauge at times. But, you know, I think if he gets, you know, a huge max deal offer from somebody, I actually really don't think the Magic are going to want to match that. I just think they're trying to change their identity, and I don't think Aaron Gordon necessarily is a part of that.
Who's the team sending the offer sheets? Who's the teams that are going to be interested in, you know, signing Gordon to that big sheet?
Phoenix, Dallas, maybe even Dark Horse, Indiana. Those three teams come to mind at first.
Yeah, Dallas and Phoenix pop off in my mind. If Thaddeus Young opts out of his contract, his player option, I think Aaron Gordon automatically kind of becomes a guy they're going to – looking to target. But I think if Thaddeus Young opts in, I think it just leads them to go after a guard and not go after Aaron Gordon. I wouldn't be surprised either if maybe the Atlanta Hawks look at Aaron Gordon too. You know, maybe they want to bolster and start with, you know, I don't know. There's still some team that think you can play small forward. I hope teams, you know, wake up and see he's just a power forward. But, yeah, that's about it for him.
Yeah, definitely a couple teams out there that – could make the offer sheet. Do you think he'll end up getting the max from somebody?
Yeah,
probably.
So somebody's going to throw it, even if it's just
the Kings.
Mess up plans for other teams.
I was about to say the Kings.
Yeah, I think it's a real, like, there's not a ton of big-time free agents out there, and, you know, he's probably in the top 10. So I think someone's just going to offer him the money just because the crop's not out there. And one of these bad teams will just look to get some talent and hope that they can get the best out of him. What would be the best out of Aaron Gordon?
I still have hope for him, and I would love to see him on a good team. Like, I would love to see him on Indiana with, like, old someone else he could play off of. But, I mean, if he goes to Sacramento, he'll put up solid numbers on a terrible team again. But I think at his best, he can have – average 18 and 8 and be a pretty good defensive player as well.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. I think he has the ceiling to possibly be a better offensive player than Blake Griffin possibly before the Blake Griffin injuries. But again, I don't know. There's just something about Aaron Gordon that always makes me so skeptical.
Yeah, I think the one thing too is, like, defensively, you never really seen him fully unlocked. And I think there's, like, a coach out there that could probably hopefully get more out of him. But it feels like everybody leaves Orlando and gets better. So we'll see what happens with him. Another restricted guy, Julius Randle. And Randle's a really interesting situation because a team, I think, could sign him to an offer sheet and really kind of put the Lakers in a tough position because they won't know if they're getting LeBron or Paul George yet. And then they'll have to make a decision. So do you think he's out of LA for sure?
Yeah, this is super interesting, especially because of the timing. If a team signs an offer sheet before they get any of the big fish that they want to get, it puts the Lakers in a tough spot. So my guess is he is on the way out, and the Lakers would like to keep an ideal world, but he may just be a necessary sacrifice for them to get some of the bigger names.
Yeah, I think he's interesting because I think if the Lakers strike out, they don't want to lose Randle, right? I think you'd want to bring him back, especially after how he played the back half of last season. But again, when you're waiting for other dominoes to fall, you know, some of your own dominoes are going to fall. And I think Julius Randle will get a big offer sheet. I think the Mavericks are going to be a dark horse probably for Julius Randle. I wouldn't rule out the Hawks if they wanted to go after a small ball center. I know if the Spurs somehow move Kawhi Leonard, I think that would be an interesting spot for Julius Randle too. They have an abundance of, and obviously LaMarcus Aldridge is there, but they have abundance of older bigs, and I think Randle could be a nice 4 or 5 for them. But aside from that, I don't see a ton of great options for Julius Randle, especially, you know, being restricted. But I do think someone out there will give him that huge contract he's looking for.
Evan, who do you think will be looking for Randle?
I like the Spurs idea that Corey says. I think that makes a lot of sense. Dallas has been trying to get him for, I think, like 4 years or something.
So they've been interested in a lot of centers, huh?
They've been interested. I know they keep striking out, but they will try again for sure. The Hawks, they have the money to do it, but I think they just want to be awful for a while, and he may make them not as awful as they would like. So I guess the other landing spots, I mean, Phoenix, again, they could have some room. They're trying to be good. They're trying to win now. But I'm not sure anyone else comes to mind off the top of the head.
Yeah, I think Clippers maybe if DeAndre Jordan leaves, you know, that's a possibility, but I think the spots that you guys mentioned are probably most likely. If you had to make a guess, where's he going to land?
Man,
that's a it's tough.
Funny. I'm just going to say the Lakers because I think the Lakers end up striking out this offseason because that's been how I feel so far throughout this pod. So I'm going to say Julius Randle ends up with the Lakers as a last ditch effort.
I will second that.
Yeah, it seems like it's really likely, especially if they do strike out. And then depending on Dallas, I think Dallas would be the next most likely spot, but they really are interested in a lot of big fish. So moving on to another restricted guy, Jabari Parker. He's an interesting case as well, coming off 2 torn ACLs. You know, there's a lot of potential still there, but you still really don't know. Defensively, he's never shown a lot. So what are your thoughts on Jabari Parker, and what type of money is he going to get this offseason?
Well, the rumors are he wants a lot more than the Bucks want to give him, so I'm not sure if it can work out there in Milwaukee. A sign and trade is definitely a possibility for him. Yeah, I mean, he's had 2 ACL injuries, and he obviously has some defensive issues as well, so I'm not sure he'll be able to get huge money, but the talent is still there for teams to take a chance. And so maybe teams that need scoring and think their system can override those defensive limitations. So I've even heard like Utah may be interested in him.
Yeah. You know, the knee injuries are what stick out. You know, it's hard to see, you know, what to gauge from a guy who's constantly having knee injuries. But, you know, looking at targets, I think the Bulls, if they want to move Parker to the small forward position, it could be interesting.
Hometown
as well. I do like the thought of the Utah Jazz because, you know, because they're so defensively talented, you might be able to kind of help with some of his defensive deficiencies if he's playing alongside a really good defensive core. And, of course, offensively, we've seen Jabari Parker light it up, and he's shown some great upside in that area. He could be a nice secondary option to a Donovan Mitchell. I heard some, you know, rumbling that the Pistons might go after Jabari Parker, which would be interesting because I don't know where they're getting the money from.
Exactly, yeah.
It'd probably be some kind of sign and trade, but then, like, or I don't even know how that would work. Who they're going to pack is like, who, like, Reggie Jackson? No thanks. So I don't think that's a possibility. I think Dallas could be a dark horse. And I think the Bucks still have obviously the great opportunity of retaining Jabari Parker. So I don't think his value is going to be crazy high.
Do you think it would make sense for Jabari Parker to just sign the qualifying offer, play one more year, kind of get his value up, and then become an unrestricted free agent next year?
Risky.
It's risky, but it makes some sense. And I guess it just be how confident you are in your health and your knees going forward. But if he had, you know, a really good year under Mike Budenholzer and averaged 15 to 17 points off the bench or something, he's still so young. He can make huge money the following year. So I may look to take a risk.
Yeah, the injury is the most concerning thing, and that's kind of going to prevent him from big money. Final prediction for Jabari.
I think Corey nailed it with the Bulls. I think they're that makes a lot of sense.
This is you really don't know how bad things are within an organization. But I want to say he stays with Milwaukee.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I really don't know. I think he would stay with the Bucks if it's the right price, but I don't think they want to lock up long-term money. Chicago does make sense, but then the fit is kind of questionable. This is like another player that I could see the Kings offering money possibly, or the Hawks, like a yes. bad team taking a risk, you know, doesn't really matter. He could turn out to be that all-star player that we projected, you know, when he was drafted, or he could end up being a bust because of the knee injury. So I think it would look good for a bad team to take a risk on him. If I'm like a pretty good team, I don't know if I want to risk it because I don't wish the worst for Jabari Parker, but there's a real possibility he could hurt his knee again. You know, having two torn ACLs in that close of proximity, it is not a good thing. But another forward/guard, Tyreke Evans, coming off a career year. Is Evans going to be looking for money or a chance to win?
It's probably somewhere in the middle. He was so good last year before he got hurt. And so he helped his value a lot with how well he played, but the injuries are still a question mark. So I think he's going to value fit. He's getting a little older. He wants to win. And so I think he's probably looking, you know, just for good money, not great money. Philadelphia, I think they miss out on LeBron James or other big fish. Makes a ton of sense for another ball handler. And he's gotten his shot up well enough that he could play off, you know, Simmons and Embiid. And then the recent reports, Indiana is interested in him. I think that would be a great fit.
Yeah, I like Tyreke Evans. Obviously, I mean, he was tremendous last year in Memphis. Really a bright spot in what was utterly a crap season. Me and Nick on the NBA Outlet preview series prior to last season said if Mike Conley got hurt, they were screwed. And Mike Conley got hurt, and they were screwed. So I think Tyreke Evans really upped his value. I mean, he was making, what, like $3.2 million last year? Like, that's ridiculous for the numbers he put up. You know, 39% from three. We've never seen him this healthy. I would love to see him on the Pacers as a secondary ball handler. I think he'd be, if he's healthy and plays like he did last season, he'd be what they kind of hope Lance Stephenson would be in a way.
Yeah, because he could lead the second unit as well. But talking about that, he did have a great season and he shot very well. Do you think we can expect similar numbers from him next year, or is going to kind of get back to the mean a little bit?
Probably not the same, but I've always been an Evans fan when he's healthy. He's versatile and can legitimately play all threes, 1, 2, and 3. You know, he had 19, 5, and 5, so he's pretty well-rounded out player. I think he can average close to that. The biggest question mark is if he can continue the three-point shooting at around the 39% range. Usually he's around 34, 35.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, I think he can definitely copy a season like last year. The three-point percentage, that likely will drop. Obviously he had the ball in his hands a ton being in Memphis, but I don't know. I mean, I think if he gets placed in a good position with a good organization, I think, you know, just thinking about the Indiana, for instance, I think he would flourish playing alongside a great defensive team where the ball seems to move around really well. I think that's the kind of offense he needs to be in.
Well, mentioning Indiana, what would be some other teams you think will have interest in Evans?
I like the Spurs. I think he would crush it there, and Pop would get the most out of him for sure, and especially if they trade Kawhi and they need some offense. I think that's a great fit for sure. The Clippers, again, they make some sense. The Bulls make some sense. They could offer some good money at him if he just wants to take the money. But again, it's what he values, it's money or, you know, winning.
Yeah, I think – you know, Indiana, obviously, we talked about. I think the Spurs is a nice thought. I think he actually could be a nice Spurs guy. He could kind of fit in there. And then you're looking alongside. I think if the Cavs could make some money or free up some money, I wouldn't mind the fit of him in Cleveland. I know Cleveland did have some interest near the deadline. Another place with Tyreke Evans, I don't know if I see the Bulls going after Tyreke only because I feel like they still want to give the young guys time and be somewhat bad.
True.
I don't know. Nick, you have any thoughts about Tyreek?
Honestly, I think it's going to depend on his price tag. That was actually going to be my next question. How much money do you guys think he's going to look for? Is he going to look for the mid-level exception, or is he going to be willing to look for, you know, the taxpayer's mid-level exception and, you know, maybe take a little bit lesser money and playing with a good team? I think that's going to be, you know, the big deciding factor for him.
12 to 15, I feel like, a year is what he's going to be looking for.
And in that case, I think that limits his options a lot, you know, because that's probably going to be more than the mid-level exception. There's only going to be a couple teams that have the cap space to offer that. So in that situation, if he wants to win and he wants to get paid pretty hefty, I would think the Pacers would be probably one of his almost only options. You know, other than that, it would be a bad team who could pay him. If he was willing to take a pay cut, he could go to a couple different teams. Boston had a lot of interest in him last year at the deadline. They just didn't want to give up a pick. You know, there's a lot of teams that could use a player like him, especially off the bench. It also depends, too, is does he want to be a starter? Does he want to be a bench player?
Right. No, that's a great point.
Because, I mean, he has – and I think what I would say about Tyreek Evans, I'm not super willing to give him a ton of money because, like you guys kind of mentioned, he played on Memphis. And take that with a grain of salt because they were terrible. He was getting the ball a lot. He's getting a lot of touches. Obviously, he had some decent moments when Mike Conley and Gasol were healthy, but still, like – you know, going to a different situation, he's not going to be the man. He's not going to have the ball as much. And my biggest question mark is, can he get those shooting numbers up? You know, is he going to be able to recreate that 39% from three, or is it going to be something closer to his career numbers? In my opinion, that's going to be a big factor because you don't want to have a wing that can't shoot nowadays. It hurts so much.
But, yeah, I agree with the wings that can't shoot. You can't have that in today's league. And I just – you know, the money aspect, you know, if he made slightly more money last year, I might think otherwise in the money. But because he's had injury problems, because he only made $3.2 million, I just can't see him wanting to take, you know, less than a somewhat big contract because of the uncertainties that could be ahead of him.
Yeah, I could see him looking, you know, going for a long-term type deal, a 3 to 4 year type deal, getting decent money, not maybe that number in the 10 range, but still something where he's, you know, guaranteeing himself set up in case he does have another injury or another letdown. Talking about a guy who's coming off a big injury, and he probably never got fully healthy last year, and that's Isaiah Thomas. And going to the season, he was expecting big bank, you know, 2 years ago, and now he's looking at money. I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know where he's at. And I think a big question mark for Isaiah, similar to Evans, is does he want to be a starter? Does he want to be a six man? What do you expect IT to be looking for in free agency?
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a brutal year, and he was never fully healthy from the hip surgery. Hopefully he is going next year, but I doubt any team offers him substantial money. I know he wants to be a starter. Remember, he was kind of salty coming off the bench for the Lakers, even though that's what he's best at. I just don't know the team that would want to make him the starter coming off that year and with the questions about the hips. I'm sure he could still get some solid money if he's willing to just be a gunner six man. But if he wants to be a starter, it's, you know, he may need to take a short-term deal first and, you know, get his value back up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If he wants to be a starter – you know, I guess start calling Phoenix, try and go back to Phoenix. They have some money. You know, maybe plead to the Kings to come back. There's not a lot of places for him to be a starter. And obviously, you know, the 30 points per game just – or 29.3 points per game, you know, 2 years ago – well, you know, two seasons ago now just feels so far away after last season and being hurt, you know, the entire year for the most part. I don't think he's going to get crazy money. You know, he made what, $6 million last year. I think he'll be lucky to get $10 million a year. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did take a shorter deal, like you mentioned, Evan. But realistically, Isaiah Thomas needs to realize that as of this point in his career, again, he's just a six man.
Yeah, I think I would expect Isaiah to take a one-year deal. I think it seems very likely. He thinks he wants to get his value up, and I think a real possibility would be the Lakers strike out. They give him a one-year deal so they can keep their cap space for next year, bring him back. But other than that, it's not really a ton of options for him, especially I personally wouldn't want him starting on my team because of the defensive deficiencies. There's really nothing you can do to protect him. Brad Stevens did a great job protecting him, but I don't think a lot of coaches and a lot of teams have, you know, the players on their roster to do that. So what do you think are some teams that are going to be looking at IT?
I think Chicago could use him off the bench and just for pure offense. That makes some sense. If he's willing to take a cheap one-year deal, maybe even Washington to back up John Wall, maybe even Philadelphia as a backup point guard if he wants to play for a contender and they have some money. I think that makes some sense. A lot of teams would be interested in him if he's just okay of being a six-man.
Yeah, I think if the Charlotte Hornets move Kemba Walker, that could be a place for Isaiah Thomas. Sorry, Evan. I think the Kings and Hawks have possibilities. I think the Clippers are, I think, like a dark horse in my eyes. The Lakers don't, too. The Clippers could bring him in on a cheap deal just to be a backup point guard. I wouldn't be, the Washington is an interesting one. If Dallas hadn't signed or traded for Doncic, I think that would have been another location for him. And I think Phoenix is another place for him. And I think a dark horse now would be Orlando Magic. After waiving Shelvin Mack, maybe they, you know, take the risk and they sign Isaiah Thomas just to help put some seats, put people in the seats, and you know he'll probably have an opportunity to start there too if he wanted to.
Yeah, that actually would be a great opportunity for him to get the ball a lot, get a lot of chances. I think that's what he's going to be looking for, is whatever opportunity he gets where he can get a lot of shots up, get the ball in his hands a lot, so he can kind of prove himself and earn that money next year. I think I would be surprised if he signed anything, you know, more than a one-year deal. But you never know. Somebody might be like, oh, he could get back to that, you know, MVP candidate type level we saw in Boston, which I don't think he will, but you never know.
Yeah, and in a place like Orlando where he's playing with Mobamba and those bigs, he can probably average more than the team high assists per game last year of 3.9 by Kelvin Mack.
Oh, what a record.
Mentioning Mobamba and Isaac, that's two long guys that can kind of help him out a little bit and protect him. But moving on to Chicago, Zach LaVine, a restricted free agent, you know, recovering from that torn ACL last year. He showed some nice flashes. Do you think he's a lock to stay with Chicago since they made that trade for him?
I don't think so. If a team offers him a big offer sheet, I could definitely see the Bulls just passing on it. He has injury questions with the ACL. He stinks defensively, just like Isaiah Thomas. So if a team offers him a big offer sheet, I would not be surprised if Chicago just passes on matching it.
Yeah, rumors I've seen recently are that the Bulls front office, you know, they don't see him as an absolute lock to bring back. They've actually somewhat soured on him the last couple or whatever, the last couple of months for whatever reason.
Which is funny because it's like you guys just traded for him and he's coming off a torn ACL. Like, you expect him to be 100% yet? You know what I mean?
And I didn't think he looked that bad. You know, I mean, the field goal percentage, I was only shooting 38% this past season. Those few games he played obviously wasn't ideal. But again, like you mentioned, Nick, you know, he's coming back from ACL injury, his first major injury. So, you know, the first comeback I feel like is always the hardest one because you don't know what to expect. And, you know, you're retraining your body for the
especially
first time.
An explosive guy like him who had like an incredible athleticism. He still does, though. That's what I think is a crazy thing, is he came back from a torn ACL and he can still jump higher than a lot of guys in the league. So personally, I think it would be a mistake for the Bulls not to keep him, especially when you make the trade for him. He was a key piece in that trade. You know, and we kind of mentioned it, Corey, we thought the Bulls were kind of on the right track. This could be a move that kind of sets them back a little bit if they don't keep him, because I think Zach LaVine will be fine if he gets a chance to be healthy. He's shown a lot. And one thing I liked about him in his last year with Minnesota was his three-point percentage was getting up, his ability to pull up from three. I think that's something that's very special. And somebody might get lucky and be able to pry him away. Maybe a team like Atlanta who's looking, you know, to add some youth.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that too.
What do you guys think are some other possibilities for LaVine if he were to leave Chicago?
I think Atlanta makes some sense. Bad teams who just want to have some space. Maybe even the Kings makes, you know, they do that kind of stuff a lot. he's probably not going to get maybe the money he looks just because of the injuries. And so I think only a couple teams would be willing to offer him to a big offer sheet.
Yeah, and it could be end up being a steal for somebody if they get him at a decent deal and the Bulls aren't interested in bringing him back. Mm-hmm. Another interesting free agent, Derek Favors, you know, forward-center combo, had some nice moments last year for Utah the year before he was a little bit banged up. You know, nobody really knows what his best position is. Some people think it's power forward, some think it's center. Do you think he's going back to Utah or he's going to be on the market?
I think Utah would love to have him back because, as I said, he can play the four or he could spell Gobert and play some backup five. I like Favors a lot. Apparently, he's working on his three-point shot, apparently, to try to, he's got a nice mid-range but wants to be more of a stretch. He can defend. Brooklyn, who needs a big, even though they won space in 2019, I think makes some sense. A lot of teams are going to be interested in him, though, because he's versatile and he could defend.
And he won't be as expensive as some of the other guys, which I think is going to be a key factor for him. One thing I like about Favors, too, is I think there's some more to unlock. You know, you mentioned that three-point shot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in Utah, he's kind of playing in Gobert's shadow, and some of his best moments have happened when Gobert's been injured. Corey, what do you think are some teams that are going to look at Favors?
I mean, I think the Utah Jazz will try to retain him. It's tough because, like, he's like, if he get, I mean, if he's developing a three-point shot, then you know, that changes a lot of things. I like the thought of, if Portland doesn't go after Nurkic, maybe they try to go after Favors. They likely won't have enough money, though, even still. Maybe a dark horse would be Dallas if they strike out on the open market. And, you know, look, Utah, I still think he's probably the best candidate to bring him back. Maybe a team like the Hawks, like Evan mentioned, throw him some money. Maybe the Nets, if they want to bring back Favors. But there's just not a huge market out there for a power forward who is kind of like a center and can't really shoot the ball. I mean, obviously, if he's working on it, that's one thing. But, you know, we see people work on it all the time. It doesn't mean it translates to the game.
Yeah. The Knicks could even be a possibility if Kanter opts out, which I think is a real possibility, too. So Favors is a cool guy that I think will get some options from different teams if they strike out on some of the bigger fish and they can get him at a lesser price. He might be a guy who gets rewarded because he's not looking for a ton of money, but he's obviously not going to be super cheap. You might be able to grab Favors for the mid-level exception. I would not be surprised if you were able to do that.
Yeah, you should be able to get him pretty cheap, as you said. And another team that needs more athletic bigs is, again, the Washington Wizards. And
yeah,
I think they would definitely be interested in him.
Yeah, and that could be another thing. If he goes back to Utah, they possibly trade him at the deadline or something. He'd be a nice piece. I have a feeling he does stay in Utah, though. He seems to like it there in that system. Him and Gobert have a nice little combo, unless Utah's going after somebody that we didn't foresee. Talking Trevor Ariza, though, 3-and-D guy, obviously. He was a pretty big part of what was Houston doing last season. What do you guys think about him? Obviously, there's been reports that he's looking to get $50 to $60 million over 5 or 6 years. What are your thoughts on that?
Those reports were surprising because I don't know who in the world would offer him that much money. I think he's 33 or something. He's pretty old. And he's still solid, though. I like Trevor Ariza a lot, even though he had the miserable Game 7. I think the Rockets would like to keep him, ideally. Hopefully they can work something out. And, of course, he's good insurance if they strike out on LeBron and Paul George, which is likely. But every team in the league could use guys like Trevor Ariza. It's really just about the price.
Yeah. The 50 to 60 million is strange because, you know, any contending team then can't sign him because no contending team is going to want him for that money. I saw reports that maybe he'll take a pay cut to play with the Warriors, which then to me would, I mean, he's good friends with Chris Paul, and Chris Paul would never speak to him again if he was to leave the Rockets to go to the Warriors. I just feel like that's how Chris Paul is. Yeah, I mean, he's 33 years old. He averaged 12.2 points per game, shot 35% from three. I do think he's a really good 3-and-D wing still. Don't let the Game 7 fool you where he shot 0 for 11 from three. But yeah, I mean, if he's wanted 50 or 60 million, he's out of his mind. I think he's a guy who needs to be looking, you know, from like 7 to 8 million, if that. But, you know, if he wants to get paid, you know, maybe if Philly strikes out on LeBron, I wouldn't, and strike out on Paul George, I think Trevor Ariza wouldn't be a terrible fit in Philly.
That'd be a nice fit. I would like that. I think that'd be solid. He's a 3-and-D guy. He can fit into a lot of different roles. Do you think, guys, that it's most likely, though, he stays in Houston?
I think so. I think maybe he just makes those comments to try to get a little more than they would initially give him. But he fits so seamlessly in Houston. He's best friends with Chris Paul. They're a winning team. He should be able to get a little bit of a raise than not he wants. I think he stays.
I agree. I don't think the Rockets can afford to lose him, and I think they'll make it work.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the Rockets are getting any big fish, so it would just make sense to bring Ariza back and go from there. Enes Kanter of the Knicks, it looks like he's probably going to opt out based off of rumors. Now, what do you guys view Kanter as, a starter center, a starting center, or more of a bench player, like a six-man piece?
Probably for most teams, six-man. On some teams with maybe really good perimeter defense, he could start. Offensively, I mean, he's really good. He could really score and is a dominant offensive rebounder at times. But I think ideally a six-man's his best role.
Yeah, I agree. Because of the defensive liability, he is a six-man role is the best position for him. I mean, we saw him with the Thunder. He flourished for the most part in that role and actually upped his value being a six-man for them. Defensively, he's just so bad. He reminds me of probably just a little bit better offensively version than Greg Monroe. So I think he's just a six-man.
Yeah, he does have similarities to Greg Monroe. He's just a better offensive player and rebounder, but defensively they're pretty similar. Like I remember when he was on OKC, you know, I think Billy Donovan was like, to one of his assistants, he kind of said, you know, we can't play Kanter because they were just exposing him in pick and roll against Houston. What do you guys think are some likely situations for him to end up in?
Well, apparently Milwaukee is interested. They could use an athletic big who can score. They should have enough perimeter defense that they could hide him a little bit. I think that's a pretty good fit, actually.
Yeah. If the Knicks end up, you know, if he ends up opting out, the Knicks don't end up, you know, signing him again for less money. So they are losing Kylo Quinn too, who opted out of a player option.
And Kanter loves New York.
Yeah. So I think Kanter re-signing is a real possibility to New York. Otherwise, you know, if the Pelicans don't re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, maybe he goes there on a lesser deal to come off the bench. I think Atlanta Hawks are a possibility. Aside from that, Milwaukee's interesting if you want to be a six-man, but, like, you need Greg Monroe 2.0? I don't know what the thought process is behind that. But I don't think there's a ton of options. And maybe if Dallas, like, strikes out, they go after Kanter.
Yeah, I think he's best in the six-man role. It'll be interesting. I don't think there'll be a ton of money out there for him, but he could definitely give a nice scoring punch to a team off the bench. Moving on to another guy who's going to probably get some hype, and he's probably going to be looking for more money than what he's going to get, and that's Will Barton. And same thing him. Do you think he's a starter or a bench player?
I think he can certainly start for plenty of teams. Ideally, in a perfect world, I'd have him a bench player, but he can really score. He's passable on defense, so that's why I think he could start. But he had a great year last year, really improved his shot. He's a pretty solid passer. He would be a good get this offseason for sure.
Just because I follow a lot of Denver guys, and I know some of his issues is he has tunnel vision. Anytime I hear tunnel vision and you look at a guy with his kind of production, it just screams six man and bench player. I think he'd be a great six-man for a team who can maybe play star like minutes off the bench, kind of like Lou Williams did. You know, he comes off the bench, but he ends up still playing, you know, a boatload of minutes. And I think Barton, another guy, he's interesting. He's definitely not going to get the money he's looking for, but, you know, he's still relatively young. And offensively, you know, his game is still, you know, it's really good offensively, despite some defensive deficiencies.
Yeah, and with Denver, you know, looks the rumors are they're going to decline his team option and then re-sign Jokic to the max. They're probably not going to have the money for Barton. So where are some teams that Will Barton's going to be looking at?
Well, as we talked about earlier, Indiana is definitely interested, and I think that makes a ton of sense as a six-man for carry some offense off the bench and at times play with Oladipo and the starters. I think that would be a really nice fit for the right price.
Yeah, I think Indiana is probably the prime place for Will Barton. Again, he could be the sixth man off the bench, get those minutes away from Lance Stephenson. And, you know, he wanted to be the guy, I feel like, in Denver. And, you know, coming off the bench in Indiana with the only real scoring option alongside you on that roster, being Oladipo, you know, he could be the second best scorer on that team. And then aside from that, you know, looking at some teams, maybe because he's going to demand so much money, it's going to limit the team that go after him. You know, if the Sixers don't get LeBron and they still have all this money, then maybe they don't go after or they don't sign Jaden to a huge deal. Maybe they go after him because they could use some more guard play. You know, I think if Portland could move Evan Turner somehow, I think Will Barton would be a great kind of six-man guard for them, because I just think Evan Turner is just so bad. And if they had someone who could score some offensive
buckets
off the bench for them, they would be so much better.
And he played for Portland, so it would be the return. I think that's definitely – I think the Pacers make a lot of sense, because they also could give him those starter-type minutes off the bench. And like you said, he'd give them some nice scoring. If he wants to get paid, it's probably going to be on a bad team with a lot of opportunities but not a lot of winning. Looking at another center, it feels like there's been a ton of free agent centers, and they've all been pretty solid so far. Joseph Nurkic, restricted free agent for Portland. Does it feel like he's going to sign the qualifying offer and just be an unrestricted free agent next year, because there's not going to be a lot of money out there for him, and I don't think Portland's going to throw money at him?
I think that's definitely what he's going to do. He costs himself a lot of money. Last year was probably his time to do it, and so he may want to take another year. He didn't have the best year this year. He was very up and down. I mean, still 14-9 and okay defensively, but I think
postseason exposed him. That first round series against New Orleans, he looked pretty bad because they really couldn't play him against Davis.
Exactly. So there's certain matchups that are really bad for him, and so he's a good starter, but would be a great bench big. So I think he takes a qualifying offer.
Yeah, he got dunked on and pointed at.
He got dunked on a couple times. He had that LeBron hit him with a mean dunk too.
Yeah.
Early in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he accepts a qualifying offer too. There is like no market for Joseph Nurkic out there. If he hits the open market, he's gonna be sitting there staring at a blank phone for a long time.
Yeah, it's just that there's so many centers out there, and there's already so many centers that are locked up and they're overpaid that teams are going to be really scared to spend money on a center that can't play against bigs like Anthony Davis. Moving on to Avery Bradley, he's another guy coming off somewhat of a down year. It was a rough season. He had some legal issues. What do you think Bradley's going to be looking up in the offseason, for a one-year deal to get his value up, some long-term money, a winning situation? What do you expect from Avery?
I guess it's a one-year deal and ideally a winning situation to get his value up. I'm not sure if anyone in the league had a worse year than Avery Bradley last year. It was pretty disastrous, both in Detroit and the Clippers, with injuries and just bad play. So I wrote today, I think the Sixers make some sense. It's a winning team. He could just spot up, be a cutter, defend on the ball, not asked to do too much. He could take, maybe $10 million a year at most. Something like that. Because
I think you could probably get him cheaper too, to be honest.
You probably could. You're right. Because last year, he was last in RPM among shooting guards last year. Like, it was bad.
Yeah. And that's coming off of really, a couple solid seasons in Boston. It was just weird. It's like we've seen a lot of guys leave the Celtics and be a lot worse. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. What do you think, Corey, on the Bradley front?
Yeah, I think Philly makes a lot of sense if they strike down some other guys. I wouldn't rule out him taking a smaller, cheaper deal to go play with a winning team. Like maybe, Washington could give him a smaller deal. Maybe San Antonio. I think he'd be great in San Antonio.
He seems like a Spurs type player.
Yeah. The Utah Jazz have some money. Maybe they go after him, another defensive guy who can play, but they're kind of guard jammed. I don't know if they're going to want him. And then I think like the dark horse would be if Dallas wanted to, sign him, or maybe even like the Orlando Magic.
There's also been some ties to the Nets as well. And Evan mentioned the one-year deal. I think that'd be a real possibility. He wanted to come to Brooklyn. They've had interest in him, sign him for a one-year deal, maybe pay him a little bit more than what he deserves. And then they still keep their cap space for next year. Cause I think he's a guy though, if he's looking for winning though, he could be a guy you can get at a cheaper price that can still help your team and even come off the bench and be a beautiful 3-and-D guy to have. Talking another guard related to Philly, JJ Redick, huge season in Philly, got a big payday, so I don't think he'll be worrying as much about money this year. Do you think he's going to stay with Philly, or it's going to depend on what happens on the big free agent front in LeBron James and Paul George?
I think he stays in Philly from all accounts. I mean, he obviously had a monster season there. He really likes it there. I know he wants to be close to Brooklyn because that's where he lives. I'm sure he's willing to take a discount and make less than his humongous one-year deal last year. I think he's almost a lock to stay in Philly.
Yeah, I'd be surprised to see JJ Redick not in Philly next year. I do think he takes a major pay cut, maybe even like $10 million less.
Yeah, he was way overpaid, so I think that would make sense.
Yeah, and I think he's happy that they overpaid him. And, you know, he understands that if he takes less money, they can probably, you know, get some more talent in there and actually be a threat. So I think he realizes how close that Philly team was to, you know, possibly being in the Eastern Conference Finals. And against that Cleveland Cavaliers team, who knows what would have happened. I think a dark horse would be a team like Houston if they could free up some money. I know they had interest in him last offseason. They actually offered him a contract, but then they kind of rushed him. They said, you know, if you don't accept this deal, we're going to, you know, sign with somebody else. And he ended up, you know, signing with Philly. So I think Houston would be a dark horse, but I think he stays in Philly.
Yeah, it seems like that's the most likely scenario unless they're able to land some bigger fish and they don't have the money and he's looking for something a little bit better. JJ is also a guy, I believe, who's been in the postseason every year of his NBA career, so winning is important to him. Another guard, Elfrid Payton. You know, this is a guy who didn't come off a great year, and Phoenix, I believe, renounced his restricted free agent, so he's an unrestricted free agent. What are some spots for Elfrid Payton? A guy who's not had an amazing NBA career before, and it always seems like if he could just add a jump shot, he'd be pretty good, but he hasn't added that jump shot.
Yeah, I'm a still slight Elfrid Payton believer. But yeah, his value is not super high right now, and I get why Phoenix renounced the rights. If Charlotte keeps Kemba as a backup, I think that makes some sense. I think we would look at him for sure. Teams, you know, who need just solid backup point guard. Like maybe even Utah takes a flyer on him to back up Rubio. Dallas could make some sense because he's going to be cheap and he's already a solid backup who can start in a second.
Yeah, I mean, he plays solid defense. The offense has always been an issue. He can't play make. He's had, you know, several triple-doubles over the last several seasons. So I don't think, you know, it's out of the realm of possibility that maybe the Hornets move Kemba and they sign him to a backup deal. You know, maybe the Hawks, you know, they get some kind of, you know, a little veteran, they go after him. I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe Washington, if he's really cheap, throw some money at him because obviously their bench has always been an issue. The Clippers to me are another team that maybe they'll take a flyer on them. Dallas too, as you mentioned. Aside from that, you know, maybe Portland does. He's a little bit bigger, but again, you know, I mean, he's not going to get like that much money at all. Like, he's going to be rather cheap this year. It just depends on who's going to be able to afford him or want to take a flyer on him.
Yeah, I think it's more so somebody's going to take a flyer on him, like a young bad team, kind of, you know, and Evan kind of still believe in him a little bit. But I think it's probably going to be a one-year deal for him to kind of work on his value. He's a guy that if he doesn't have a big season here, he's a guy that will probably just bounce around the league for a couple years. Moving on to the other end of the spectrum, a guard who's close to the probably end of his career, and that's Dwayne Wade. Is he a lock to stay in Miami? Is there no possibility of him leaving if he plays next season? Because, I mean, there's still a small chance he'll retire.
Yeah, I think he's a lock. I think it's either retire or stay in Miami. And he was so happy to be back after – you know, being in Cleveland for half a season. And I would be very, very surprised if he went somewhere else.
Yeah, Wade's interesting because, you know, even though Wade was older last year, you know, he still had some really big games. You know, he had the big playoff game for Miami against Philly. And when he went back to Miami, it felt like he never left. You know, he was already commanding the huddles, was already like the – showing so much more life and engagement than he ever did in his tenure in Cleveland. He just looked miserable in Cleveland most of the time. And obviously there's the issues about, you know, he doesn't like to practice as much because he's older. So I think for him personally, the best fit will be Miami. Cause they just, they're all those guys there for the most part were all there when he first left. So they all still see him as Wade. They also respect him. Obviously he is a three-time champion. So I think Miami makes the most sense, but there is obviously the dark horse chance that, you know, LeBron goes somewhere and LeBron tries to pitch, you know, Wade, let's try and get one more ring. Cause LeBron, is still deeply infatuated with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. They have a great relationship. And you mentioned, you know, Wade being so happy in Miami. And I think part of that is Spoelstra too. Do you think there's any chance he would have interest in playing with Chris Paul if he were to, you know, be in Houston or leave Houston? Because they're also banana boat buddies.
Yeah, I think no, only because of the fact that he can't really run that type of offense. Like, he's just not a shooter like that. So I don't know if he would feel comfortable playing in a system like D'Antoni's at his age.
Agreed.
Moving on to our next guy, Marcus Smart. you know, restricted free agent as well. He's an interesting guy because he's super hard to gauge because his value isn't necessarily measured in statistics. It's just like his feel on the court. What do you think is going to happen with Smart? Is he staying in Boston? There's been some talk about him possibly signing the qualifying offer, getting a big payday next year. What do you think is going to happen with Marcus Smart?
I think he takes the qualifying offer and tries to get a big payday next year is my guess, even though I think a few teams like Phoenix, Sacramento, Dallas, maybe even possibly Denver will try to throw some money at him. But I think he likes it in Boston enough. He's willing to bet himself that he takes the offer.
Yeah, I think his time in Boston's done. I just don't see them giving him the money he's probably going to demand. I think Philly is an interesting choice, possibly more for Marcus Smart. I think he would fit right in with that kind of Philly identity they're forming, where you know no one really likes them. They're kind of always on top of you. I mean, can you imagine Joel Embiid getting a block off, you know, getting a block and then Marcus Smart getting a steal and like back-to-back possessions and how hyped that place would be. So I like that as a possibility. I think the Pacers had slight interest in Marcus Smart. I don't know if drafting Aaron Holiday changes their plans at all, or if, you know, looking at Tyreke Evans and Will Barton, and those are the prime guys to take up all that money. But Marcus Smart would be somewhat interesting to have in Indiana because of the grit and the defense. I think San Antonio, too, could be a dark horse for Marcus Smart, and maybe even Utah Jazz.
Yes, San Antonio feels like a good spot for him. It's interesting because he's looking for money, but Smart seems like the guy that wants to win. Like, he's a guy that leaves it all on the floor. He doesn't seem like he'd have much interest signing into a bad team, so it'd have to be a playoff team that has some money. Moving on to our next guy, Brook Lopez, you know, had an okay season in L.A. There, you know, there's a chance he could go back there, but a lot's going to depend on the big fish. What do you think is going to happen with Brook Lopez?
I wrote today that I think going home to the Nets makes a lot of sense. They need a backup big. He would be perfect. Still can space the floor, okay, rim protector, can still score a little bit inside. He obviously knows Kenny Atkinson and all the schemes on both sides. So I think – and they could get him for a fairly reasonable deal. I think that would be a good fit.
Make Knicks Brooklyn Lopez jersey relevant again. I love the fit of him going back to Brooklyn. I think that'd be nice for the franchise. You know, he's like the leading scorer and rebounder, I believe. So it'd be nice to have him finish his career there as a backup. And honestly, he's a great guy, you know, locker room. And, you know, I think that would be a good fit. Otherwise, you know, if any team is looking for a big on the cheap, you know, maybe a team like New Orleans, if they miss out on DeMarcus Cousins, maybe they take a flyer on him. I know he said that he'll return to the Lakers for less money if they were to, you know, sign some of these marquee free agents. So that's a possibility. But the days of Brooke Lopez starting are surely behind us.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see if Lopez went, you know, championship hunting if he signed on, you know, one of these winning teams on a cheaper deal, because he hasn't obviously had a lot of playoff success. He's been to the first round a couple of times with the Nets, but other than that, nothing much. Obviously, if he came back to Brooklyn on a cheap deal that gave them flexibility for next year, I'd be all for it. But I have a feeling that he might be looking to win a little bit, which would be surprising because it's not really like he doesn't show it in his character. But I think at some point, every NBA player wants to be in a winning situation.
I agree.
Another Laker guy, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, obviously 3-and-D type player, a nice complimentary guy that can help you on different levels. What are your thoughts on KCP?
He had a pretty good year last year. I think he shot a career-high three-point percentage after 13. He's a pretty good defender. I think the Lakers would love to keep him because he would be great playing along stars if they get one, but it'll just depend, you know, how they do in signing the big fish. But kind of similar, his type of player can be used by a lot of teams. It's just about price.
Yeah, I mean, the $17 million he got last year was an outlier. He's not going to get nearly that much again. He'll probably be near, if I had to guess, $10 to $13 million. And, you know, 3-and-D guy. Obviously, offense can get a little sporadic. He does play really good defense, so he's rather quick still. Philly would be an interesting choice if they missed out some other guys. And then looking around, you know, maybe the Spurs, maybe the Utah Jazz, who can bring him in as a defensive guy. I don't know. I have a feeling he'll sign a lesser deal to stay with the Lakers. You know, maybe Orlando Magic throw some money at him, the Phoenix Suns. But you know, there's not an abundance of places either for a guy like KCP, who's rather inconsistent.
Yeah, I think the thing with him is, you know, a good team might be able to get him on a pretty good deal for the mid-level exception, or maybe even a little bit less, just because there's not a ton of money out there. He is inconsistent. So, and like Evan said, he can fit in a lot of different systems. He's a guy to keep an eye on. But that's the top 25 based off of Hoops Hype's rankings.
I have an idea. Can we do one more?
I was going to go through a couple more, but who do you got, Corey?
I was thinking, Dwight Howard didn't make it onto this list, so I was thinking maybe we'd go with Dwight.
Yeah, Dwight will be a guy who's most likely going to be bought out by the Nets, and somewhat, you know, the deal for the trade won't be official till July 6th, so probably sometime after that. What are your thoughts on him? Where is he looking at a possibility to land?
He's going to mess up the Warriors' chemistry, right?
Yeah. I don't think they're that bad. They're not that stupid.
I honestly have no idea.
I've seen a lot of interesting rumors where, like, the Celtics would maybe have interest in offering him a small contract if he wanted to. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, Dwight didn't have a bad year. Obviously, the locker room issues and him being a dickhead and no one wanting to play with him is, you know, obviously a really big issue. But, you know, he can be, excuse me, a huge piece for a contending team or a team that's buying, trying to get over the edge. So, you know, if he took a lesser deal to ring chase for the Warriors, Cavs even, or the Celtics, I think that could be interesting. Because I think that's where he's at in his career. I think he's going to try and chase a ring right now.
The amount of reports I saw about Dwight's off-court and locker room personality, if I was a winning team, I wouldn't want to touch Dwight. Just because of the way his attitude is, and it just seems like he could really screw up your locker room in a matter of months.
Yeah, I feel like it'd have to be kind of a winning team, but that's also not smart. So, like, the Wizards.
Yeah, and that would be a fit, too.
Right, so he can complete his Southeast tour.
Yeah, and he also is going to get the buyout money, so it doesn't have to be necessarily a big deal. So they could get him on a cheap deal. I think that'd be an interesting one. Obviously, he can still run the pick and roll with John Wall, giving somebody to finish the oop. I think Dwight is just like, it depends on his mindset. Is he like willing to be accept that he's not the player he once was? We kind of talked about this on the Brooklyn Buzz when the Dwight trade happened. You know, what does he want to accept? He's a bench player at this point in his career, but he doesn't seem to want to accept that.
True.
But I'm going to go through a couple other guys. You guys tell me when to stop if there's somebody you'd like to talk about. Rajon Rondo, Kyle Anderson, Wayne Ellington, Thad Young.
Wayne Ellington's an interesting one.
That's a good one.
Premium three-point shooter. Obviously, it's a premium in this league. Everyone wants three-point shooters. The Heat do not have a ton of money, so somebody could definitely steal him from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Heat mentioned already that they would love to keep him and bring him back, but, you know, Philly could be a team that tries to snatch him up. If OKC could figure out any wiggle room, I'm bringing him on a really low deal, but he's going to want some sort of money. I think the Clippers could be a place where he might get some money. And even I like the Pacers as a small option too, if they were able to have some money left over from possibly Thaddeus Young opting out and signing, you know, a Tyreke Evans or a Will Barton.
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of player that's going to fit in almost any team because he knocks down threes, comes off picks, doesn't need the ball in his hands a lot. He's not a bad guy to have around. I could see him fitting in almost half the teams in the league, if not more.
Yeah, I like the OKC idea. They need shooting desperately. Minnesota needs shooting desperately. I like the Philly idea, too. Again, he'll just be a guy about price, but he'll be a fairly hot commodity.
Yeah, and he could be a guy who he's bounced around a couple years now. He's played in Miami. He played in Brooklyn. He played in L.A. I believe he played in Dallas. He could be looking for, like, a long-term deal, kind of settle somewhere. So it might take out some of those bigger fish like OKC out of the picture. I'm going to keep going. You guys tell me when to stop. Thad Young, Rodney Hood, Fred VanVleet, Rudy Gay, Mario Hezonja, Jeremy Grant, Pat McCaw, David Nwaba, Davis Bertans.
Hezonja's interesting, I think.
He might be one of the most interesting free agents, in my opinion, because you could probably get him on the cheap, sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, and then next thing you know, he's one of these other Orlando players that goes to a different situation and turns out to be a solid player.
Yeah, I was about to say basically the same thing. I would definitely take a flyer on Hezonja. He's 6'8", and he can really shoot. He started getting it together last year, so when you can get him cheap, I would definitely make a move for him.
Also think Rudy Gay is an interesting guy. He, I think, opted out of his player option for the Spurs. He could be a guy. He started to look a lot better when he was healthy, had some nice moments in the playoffs when he was hustling. He could be a guy that a team adds and not at a huge price, and he gives you a nice 3-4 type tweener that you can kind of play small ball with.
Yeah, Rudy Gay's got some interest.
Some other guys, Montrezl Harrell, Joe Harris, Kyle O'Quinn.
I like Joe Harris a lot.
He's going to be a hot commodity this offseason.
He's going to be a very hot commodity. He can really shoot. Got a lot better this year.
I think Kyle O'Quinn is too on the low.
Yeah, no, Kyle O'Quinn, yeah. Both those guys. Honestly, Montrezl Harrell will get a lot of hype, but I think he's going to stay with the Clippers. Joe Harris is a guy that a lot of teams are going to be willing to kind of sign for. They could sign for – some are thinking the mini MLE. Other teams are thinking, you know, the full MLE. Not the full MLE, but, you know, a higher rate maybe in that $6 million thing. One thing he improved a lot on, he's a great three-point shooter. He was one of the top and shooting a top of the break, but also driving to the rim. He was, like, second in the league in terms of percentage behind only LeBron James. So he's a guy – he's just, like, a true professional, the type of guy you don't mind having on your team at all. Big fan. Jack Manuel, who does JBT, and then Brooklyn Buzz with me, that's his biggest fan.
He's really good, and if you get him for the MLE, that is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he stays with Brooklyn. He's made it seem like he wants to stay there because they helped his career a lot. If I had a bet, I think he stays with the Nets unless some other team offers him a ton of money.
Yeah, I know Bleacher Report did. They did some kind of, like, you know what. One team, one player that every team could target, and the Nets guy was Joe Harris. I think Joe Harris is just – he kind of feels like a Brooklyn guy at this point in time. I would love to see him stay.
He lives in Brooklyn too, which is cool, and he's a guy that I think you keep around, and he can complement almost any type of player because he doesn't need the ball a ton. He does everything you need. So, but Kyle O'Quinn, like you mentioned too, Corey, the Warriors had a lot of interest in him at the deadline. They're a team that I think is going to sign on this offseason.
I wouldn't be surprised. It looks like they want to get somebody a little bit more athletic and a little bit more polished than like JaVale McGee and Zaza.
And Kyle O'Quinn is a very good passer, which system like Golden State, obviously. Draymond's been great there passing, and Andrew Bogut was great passing there. So having another guy like that. A couple other guys. Dante Exum, I think, is a really interesting one. I think Utah would like to keep him, but he had a nice postseason. Like, his postseason was very solid, and he showed some nice defense on James Harden.
Yeah, I still have a lot of faith in Exum too. A lot of physical tools.
I know the Suns are really interested in going after Dante Exum.
Hey, it would make a lot of sense. He doesn't need the ball a ton. He's more of a defensive type guy, but he can work on his offensive game. Then you have Devin Booker. You have the other pieces there. You know, it makes a lot of sense. Another guy who I think super intriguing because you could get him on a really cheap deal and he has a lot of potential. He's kind of similar to the Dwight thing. It's just like the mental aspect of the game, the off the court stuff, and that's Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, I think if he ever gets his head out of his ass, he could be something.
What Corey said.
I wouldn't mind the Nets taking a flyer on him if he's can kind of get his mindset right. Just there's a lot of potential there, especially defensively. I love his switchability. A couple other guys, Ed Davis, Aaron Baines, Seth Curry, Mike Scott, Devin Harris, Kevon Looney. Any thoughts on those dudes?
Mike Scott and Seth Curry interest me. Mike Scott was a crucial, probably the best bench player for the Washington Wizards, you can argue, last year. Especially, so I think somebody was interested in him. He became like a knockdown shooter. And I think Seth Curry is going to be rather cheap. And as long as he's healthy, I think he can make a great impact because he had some nice moments the year prior in Dallas.
He can shoot. That's what you need in the league, and he's a guy that can knock it down. Same thing for Scott. Both guys can knock it down. I think Devin Harris is another interesting guy because he's just a veteran point guard, nothing crazy, but just a solid piece you can have.
Great backup.
Yeah, he's like almost an ideal backup type guy. And Kevon Looney definitely helped his case in the postseason defensively. Somebody will definitely take a flyer on him for sure and maybe offer a little bit more money than the Warriors want to pay. Any other free agents we didn't mention, guys, you guys want to touch on?
I think Rodney Hood's a guy who's going to be kind of intriguing. Obviously, he had a crappy stint in Cleveland, but he's still a restricted free agent. I think a lot of teams could use him as a 3-and-D, and I don't know if his value is incredibly high. So he might be a guy who's still young, rather cheap, and has a ton of upside still.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I'm the Cavs, like, that whole situation is ugly. If I'm the Cavs, I try to fix that relationship, and I want to keep Hood because he's the only way that I could kind of get talent back into Cleveland. Because if he plays for the level we've seen him play in the past, he's a solid player. But if he's kind of like all over the place and their relationship is terrible, you have to let him go. But if they can kind of, you know, make that relationship better and things can work out, it'd be a nice situation for him there. Fred VanVleet is another guy that I think is very interesting that I wouldn't be surprised if a team offers too much money and then the Raptors can't match.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet. He reminds me kind of like another guy, like Jeremy Grant from OKC. I think he's going to get some big money because he's long, lengthy. His jump shot's a little bit iffy, but he plays good defense and he's pretty good around the rim.
Yeah, he plays super hard too, and you always love that.
Yeah, like that one.
Yeah, that I think we pretty much touched on almost, you know, most of the big free agents. There's a couple guys that we didn't hit on, but we didn't want to make the show 2 hours plus. So, Corey, Evan, thank you guys for hopping on. As always, check out otgbasketball.com for all off-season content. We're going to update as much as possible, and you can check out the podcast, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, and Dash Radio.
Evan, thanks for hopping on. Peace out, knuckleheads.
Thanks, guys. A lot of fun.